with you guys. Is my mic on? Yes, it is. How are you guys doing? You excited? I'm excited to be here to be continuing on in our manic series. And tonight we're going to be in Psalm 61. But I want to tell you guys something. There are going to be times in your guys' life where you feel like everything is smooth sailing. Like you're as cool as the breeze outside. Everything is A-okay. It's peachy key. But there will also be times in your life where you feel completely overwhelmed, where you feel abandoned, anxious, helpless, and maybe even sometimes hopeless. Like maybe you're cornered in and you can't escape, or that you're barely gasping, you're gasping for breath. You feel like you're too weak to carry on. I want to tell you guys a story about a guy named Lincoln Hall. He was a mountain climber, and he set off with his group to climb Mount Everest. That's Mount Everest right there. It's the biggest mountain in the world. It's the highest, it has the highest peak elevation-wise. And so he sets out on this with this group to climb Mount Everest. And after they reach the top, after they make it to the summit, they're stoked. They begin to descend back down. But on their way down, Lincoln began to feel weak, and he was unable to continue. He was unable to continue on down their descent due to altitude sickness. And altitude sickness is a common thing for people who hike at that high of altitudes. It's where your body basically starts shutting down. It's very hard to breathe. Your chest gets really tight. You feel very weak. You can barely move your muscles. So for fear for their own life, his friends leave him there, and they want to get down the mountain because they're starting to show signs of altitude sickness as well. And so they leave him for dead with no gloves, no hat, and they even took his oxygen bottles because people will hike up there with oxygen bottles to help them breathe. So Lincoln is left for dead, and he can barely breathe. He can't really move, and he's been abandoned by his friends. You see, Lincoln is overwhelmed here. He is completely helpless, and he feels completely hopeless. And his friends actually got down to the bottom of the mountain, and that next day they announced to his family and his friends that he's dead. But Lincoln wasn't dead. He had actually survived through that night miraculously. And so they tell everybody that he had died, but luckily for him, he had, with everything he had, he just began crying out. He just began crying out for somebody to hear him, for somebody to help him. And by God's grace, there was another group coming up to the summit. And this guy that was hiking with this other group, Daniel Mazur, he was coming up the mountain. And he heard Lincoln's cries. And so he, 200 feet away from the summit, he abandoned his quest to reach the top, left his group, and went and grabbed Lincoln and carried him down, back down the mountain 4 hours, risking his own life, really, and saved his life. Now, Lincoln, obviously, was overjoyed. He was so, so thankful for Daniel and for his display of selflessness and for delivering him through this trial. But see, one thing I want to point out is that eventually, one day, Lincoln is going to die. And Daniel Mazur is not going to be able to save him. There is only one who can deliver us from death indefinitely, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And see, and tonight in the text, we're going to see David in one of these times where he's like Lincoln. He's overwhelmed, he's feeling helpless, and he recognizes his weakness, and he cries out to God and recognizes God's strength, and he's reassured by God's promises and the fact that God is faithful. And David ends up going from overwhelmed and helpless and feeling helpless to overjoyed and thankful, all in this text we're going to be looking at. And you see, before we get into it, I just want to point out one more thing. This psalm that we're looking at really depicts what the Christian life is kind of like. And what I mean by that is through life, you guys are going to face trials. You guys are going to have tribulations. And at times, they're going to overwhelm you. They're going to make you recognize that you're weak, that you can't handle a lot of the stuff that's going to come at you. But our reaction as believers and putting our hope in Christ, it should cause us to turn to God and make Him our refuge and look to Him for strength when we are weak, because He delivers us, and we should respond to that deliverance with thankfulness. And so God is our deliverer, and that's the title of the message tonight, Our Deliverer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You truly are our refuge. You are our strength, Lord. We are weak, but You are strong. God, You're so strong that You conquered death for us with Christ at the cross. And so, God, I just pray for any student that may be here tonight that is just overwhelmed by what life is throwing at them. And, Lord, that they wouldn't seek refuge in worldly things and temporary fixes, but in the eternal fix, Lord, in the place that they can truly have peace and have assurance that they will overcome death in Christ if they just have faith in Him and Your goodness and what You accomplished at the cross. And so, God, I just pray that You would open up their ears, Lord, give them receptive hearts, and just give them a supernatural ability to just focus in on what You have for them here tonight through Your word, and to know that this is truly You calling out to them and speaking to them. We pray this all in Your mighty Son's name. Amen. I'm going to try really hard not to cough. I coughed really loud last time, and I feel one coming on, so if I do, I apologize. So open up your Bibles, please, to Psalm 61. And the first point we're going to see tonight, we're going to look at our weakness. And so Psalm 61, verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer." You see, here David is overwhelmed, like we talked about. He is in need of help. He is too weak for what is going on in his life right now. And what really is happening, what most of the commentaries think what David is talking about here in this situation, is the fact that his son Absalom is trying to dethrone him. And so that's a hard situation for David as a father, his son rebelling against him. And this is a hard situation for David, and he can't handle it right now. And but he knows to call out to his father, because he knows, David knows, he's a child of God. What does that mean to be a child of God? That means you're a child of the living God. And that's what David recognizes here, and we need to recognize that too. If we have faith in Christ, if we've accepted Him as our Lord, we are children of God. And you all know that I have a daughter. I just recently had a baby girl, Autumn Brooke. She's amazing. She's beautiful. I love her. She's 3 months old now, and you know, she is dependent on me as her father. Whenever she needs something, whether she's hungry or whether she needs to be changed or fed, she cries out to me because she's my child. And because I have that love for her as my child, I love her, I'm her father, I want to comfort her. I want to take care of her. I want to hold her in my arms and take care of every need she has. And you see, that's what you have when you look at it and you realize you are a child of God. God has that same love for you, that He is our Father. And so when we cry out to Him, He wants to take care of us. He wants to heed our prayers. He wants to meet our needs. And He wants to take care of you. But see, a lot of times when we're overwhelmed, our response isn't exactly like David's here always, is it? A lot of times when we get overwhelmed, we can be so anxious and so helpless, and yet we may even cry out to God, but we don't turn to God. We turn to everything but God. We may turn to drugs. We may turn to alcohol or a relationship. But whatever it may be, when we realize that those things only add, they only make our anxieties worse, they're insufficient, they overwhelm us more, but yet we still turn to them because we like that they are a temporary fix. You see, drugs and alcohol, relationships, it doesn't have to be that. You can be addicted to video games, anything. You can be turning to that in your overwhelming time, and that can be your little temporary fix, your little outlet to get away from what's overwhelming you. But see, there's a problem with that. It's temporary. It's not a lasting fix. God wants to give you an eternal fix. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel this way. You feel overwhelmed and you've been turning to some of these things. Don't. Cry out to God who loves you and wants to give you true relief and true comfort and give you peace that transcends understanding. And in these times, we need to recognize, Spurgeon said it this way, I really love what he said, tribulation brings us to God and God to us. Faith's greatest triumphs are achieved in her heaviest trials. See, what does that mean? It means those times when things are overwhelming us, that's really when we're tested in our faith. God truly puts our faith to the test. Do we turn to Him? Is He our refuge? Is He who we turn to? That's what our response needs to be, and that's what David's response is here in the text. And as that verse continues, David says, Psalm 61, verse 2, "From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You see, David is far from home at this point. He is in a foreign place. Not only are his circumstances bad, but he is far from home, a place that is comforting to him. But he knows no matter where he is or how far he is from his home, God is with him and hears his cry. And it doesn't matter where you are. You could be on the other side of the planet, on the other side of the universe even, and God is there with you. We just went over this in Jonah 1, the bitter prophet, that teaching, right? God, we talked about this. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. You can't escape his presence. And you know, maybe do you feel sometimes that way, that you are so far from God that he can't hear you? You guys ever felt like that maybe? I felt that way before. I felt sometimes that I was too far from God, but that's not what it was. It wasn't that I was too far from God. It was that I wanted explanations from God. And God doesn't always give us explanations for our circumstances. God didn't necessarily give David explanations for why his son was rebelling against him. But sometimes God will be silent. And we can mistake that for God being absent. But guess what? Sometimes God's silence is the best response we can have from God, because he's giving you time to think and remember that he is faithful, that your trust is in him, that you're not focused on explanations for what's going on in life, but you're focused, you need to focus more on God's promises. And as that verse continues, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I," that's the second part of that verse. You see, this is so cool, because this is David looking ahead and giving prophecy to Christ, our rock. What does he say? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Who's our rock? Christ. And this is something that we cannot get to without God. And see, David recognized that. He said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I," implying that he cannot reach this rock without God. And that's the same for us. In the cross-reference that I found, Matthew 16, 15 to 18, which cross-references what David's talking about here. Jesus is talking to Peter and the disciples, and he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." See, Peter didn't reveal this to himself. He says, "But my Father who is in heaven," God revealed it to Peter. And Jesus continues on saying, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," upon the statement that Peter just made, that Christ is the Savior, that he is the Son of the living God, Christ will build his church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. You see, Christ hadn't come yet. David is putting his faith in God's goodness and what God promised David, he was going to do by establishing a kingdom through his bloodline that would never be overcome. A kingdom led by the king who would conquer death, Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how overwhelmed we are, we need to focus on Christ and what we have in him, that we have overcome death in Christ. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, David knows he's too weak to overcome, to reach this rock that is higher than him. So he depends on God to get him there and to remind him of what he has, what God has promised him, and to recognize that he's weak and he needs to depend on him because God is strong. We are weak, but he is strong. And that's not just a promise that applies to David. That's a promise that applies to all of us because we're given that same promise. John 3:16, you guys all know the verse. God sent his only begotten son, and that whoever believes in him, anybody? Shall not die, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's a promise that's been given to us as well. And so when, it's okay. You know what? You're going to have times in life where you're overwhelmed, where you feel weak, where you feel hopeless. But what I want to challenge you guys to do is to look to God's strength. Because it's okay. We are weak. We need to recognize that it's his strength we need to look to. And that's our second point, is his strength. Psalm 61:3, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy, David says. You see, in this difficult time where David's son is trying to dethrone him, and David knows that God is his refuge, that he can't worry about what his son is scheming or planning on doing. But he needs to focus on turning to God, who is his protector and his deliverer and his refuge. And that word refuge, the definition is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. I'm sorry, I'm going to do a Lord of the Rings illustration. I know I do them all the time, but I just love it, and it just really applied here. And so, you guys, how many people have seen Lord of the Rings movies? Awesome, I love you guys. In Lord of the Rings, the kingdom of Rohan, King Theoden's kingdom, is being pursued by this giant army of orcs, tens of thousands of these crazy orcs, these killer monster guys, and they're coming to destroy them. And they know, Rohan knows, that they're too small, they're too weak to fight them, so they turn to their refuge, Helm's Deep. And Helm's Deep was this place that they had set up with these huge 60-foot-high walls that had a huge tower, just like David says here in that text, that he is a tower for him of strength. See, they went to their refuge. They depended on that one. They knew they were too weak, too little to handle the problem. They turned to their refuge, Helm's Deep. And you see, God is David's Helm's Deep. He knows that this is his tower, his safe place from the enemy. And likewise, God is your Helm's Deep. He is the place you can turn. He's the place you can turn to when you feel like you are being pursued by the enemy, or maybe you're at war with your flesh. You can turn to God as your refuge so that by fleeing to him, and what I mean by that is you should wake up every day. If you're going through a hard time, if you're overwhelmed by what's going on in your life, if you feel anxious all the time, you should wake up every day looking to God. He should be the first thought in your mind, and you should be so stoked to read your Bible and to hear him speak to you through it, and should be ecstatic to come here to church and hear from God. Make him what you depend on through your difficult endeavors. He is your refuge, a place for you to take refuge, to be sheltered. And as we continue in that Psalm 61:4, let me dwell in your tent forever, David says. Let me take refuge, there's that word again, in the shelter of your wings. Later on in Psalm 91:4, he says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. There's that word again. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You see, an eagle is a pretty fierce animal, okay? And it hides the little baby eagles under her wing or his wing to keep them safe and warm, because out in the open, they're vulnerable and weak. These little baby eagles, these little baby chicks, they're vulnerable and weak out in the open, and it can be easily taken out or eaten or killed by a predator. But behind the eagle's wings, predators don't want to come and mess with a big eagle with the huge sharp talons and its razor sharp beak. And see, the point is, apart from God, we are weak. We are vulnerable. That's the first point we looked at tonight. And we need to seek the shelter beneath God's wing, like David is here, to be protected from his enemy. One last little illustration I want to give you guys of this is the illustration of the three little pigs. Okay, the three little pigs, everybody should know that story, hopefully. But you can almost end up like the first two pigs in this story, where they weren't wise with where they sought shelter and protection. The first one made his shelter out of straw. And when the wolf came, when his enemy came, he blew it down. And the second one made his of sticks, and the wolf came and blew that one down. But the third made his of brick, and the wolf could not blow it down. The point is, we can sometimes not make God our refuge. We can make our refuge out of straw and sticks, can't we? What I mean by that is, like, by all those things we just talked about, when you get overwhelmed, when you turn to things that are worldly, to things that are earthly, whether it be relationships, whether it be some addiction you have to video games, or whether it be that you're just obsessed with clothes and that's kind of your outlet, that's kind of how you get away and escape from the problems and the trials and the tribulations in your life. When you turn to those things, you're taking a refuge that's made of sticks and straw. And when those things come and they keep bearing down on you and the enemy's pursuing you, it's going to come crashing and tumbling down. That's not being wise. That's not putting your refuge in God. God is our Helm's Deep. He is our shield. He is our brick house. Make him your refuge so Satan can't blow down your refuge. It's in his strength that we are made strong, not in our own. So that's the first 2 points we've seen tonight. Our weakness, his strength. And that's going to bring us to our third point, his promise. You see, when we go to his refuge, when we find shelter in God, it reminds us, when we're seeking him and pursuing him, we're reminded of his promise to us. Psalm 61:5, "For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name." You see, David had made vows to God because God had been faithful to David. He had exalted David and raised him up to be king. And when that took place, David vowed to be obedient to God, to put his trust in God. And see, vows, he's saying that David's looking to his vows, being reminded of where he puts his trust, of where his refuge is. And vows are like in a wedding, where a husband and wife, they exchange vows. And what that is it's a declaration of commitment. And we have made vows to God. If you've asked for Christ to come into your life, you've made a vow to God, haven't you? You've asked him to come into your life and to change you, and that you want to follow him, that you trust him and believe that he has conquered death through his son at the cross. And that's what you vow to put your hope in when you accept him, when you call him to come into your life and to become like him. And see, David is looking back at his vows now and his commitment to trust in God. And because you have done that, if you have, you are going to inherit that same promise God made. That same promise God made to David about establishing the eternal kingdom through his bloodline, and that his kingdom was going to reign forever, not because of how good he was, not because of how great David truly kept your vows. We're seeing through 1 Samuel that David a lot of times was just as much of a sinner as anybody. But it's not through that, but by your faith in Christ and God's promise to focus in and to hone in on that. And that is our vow, to trust in him, to trust in that. And so David, we see him going from being weak, being overwhelmed, to turning and remembering to turn to God and to cry out to God that God's strength is what he needs in this situation. And through that, it's refocusing David on his vows that he committed to trust in God even through the hard times and to focus on God's promise to him and to know that God's been faithful to David up until this point. He's not going to stop being faithful, just like he's not going to be stopped being faithful in your own, in your guys' lives. And so Psalm 61, 6 through 7, it continues. David says, "You will prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him." So David's now switched, and now that he's focused on what he needs to be focused on, he's like, what am I freaking out about? You will prolong the king's life, referring to himself. His years will be as many generations. David's remembering that God has what God has promised him, and he's all of a sudden getting revamped, new life is coming in him, and he's turning and getting stoked, remembering what God had promised him. And see, so David's starting to have things come into perspective. He's beginning to realize that he has been focused on what's going on around him with his son trying to dethrone him and forgotten that God is faithful and that he is true to his promises. And he begins to realize, I don't need to be freaking out. God is who I trust in. I trust in his faithfulness. It doesn't matter what this little dude, my son is doing or whatever circumstances going on around me. And that's my question for you guys, is are you paying too much attention to things going on around you? Are you letting little Absaloms and those things distress you and bring you down and overwhelm you? Because you need to remember that most of the times, the things that are overwhelming us are trivial and small and insignificant when we get our focus back on God and the big picture and his promise to us. When we remember that God is for us and with us, it can revamp us and surge us forward with new life like it's happening here with David. And that's what's happening. That's what's going on in the text. And so God has promised us deliverance from death. So what else is there to fear? Because death is ultimately what we fear. And so now as the text continues, we see David's response. As he's going through this whole process, we see how he responds to that deliverance when he's reminded of it and is reminded of what he has in God's promises. And that's where we see our praise. So that's our final point tonight, our praise. So Psalm 61:8. "So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day." You see, because God is faithful, that he is our deliverer through trials and through tribulations and even through death, we, like David, should be praising him and thankful to him every single day, because we have that. We have that to hold on to. That's what we have as believers, as sons of God, as sons and daughters of God. Now back to the hiking guy, the story in the very beginning. How wrong would it be if Lincoln, the guy that was carried down the mountain 4 hours by this dude that he doesn't even know, risking his own life, and when they made it down there, he just got up and was like, "Okay, cool, I'm good, later, bro." Would that make a lot of sense? That would be ludicrous, wouldn't it? But that's how we react to God a lot of the time. That's how I react to God a lot of the time, is I cry out to him. He heeds my prayers. He delivers me. And then I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'm good now. See you later, God." And I start the whole cycle over again. I take my focus off of him. I take my focus off of his promises and go right back. Start this whole thing, this whole cycle all over again. And we can do that, can't we? In the trial, in our time of distress, when we're overwhelmed, we cry out to God. But as soon as we're through it, we can go right back to focusing on everything but God. Don't make that mistake. Be obedient to him daily. Keep your focus on him throughout your day and meditate on how thankful you are that he truly is our deliverer. And we don't have to fear death because of Christ and the cross and what we have in that. God has truly delivered us. Live out your lives praising him for his goodness. Now, this is the part that I really want you guys to really focus in, to pay attention to, because this is, we look at God's word and we see what's going on through here with David, But through this, God really shows us how we can apply these same things, these same reactions, these truths and these principles into our lives. And I want to ask you guys, are you recognizing areas in your life where you are weak? Or maybe you've been depending on yourself and it's overwhelmed you and you need to cry out to God and recognize that you're weak. You can't handle it. But to let that turn you to the fact that he is strong and you need him. You need to pray out to him and call on his name. And not just call out on him, but depend on him. Maybe you've turned to things that are temporarily relieving you, like cutting or drinking or drugs or sex or whatever it is. But see, those are tools of the enemy that only are going to destroy you. And the world may tell you to do all those things, but we're not to be of the world, are we? We're to stand out. We're to be different. And those are things that are ultimately going to destroy you. Cry out to God who truly loves you. You're his child and he truly wants to give you comfort. He wants to give you peace. He wants to relieve you. And that relief is something that will last. It isn't just a temporary escape, but it is truly the escape. And maybe you just feel like you're too far gone, like we talked about. Maybe you feel like, man, I'm just so bad. I'm so caught up in all this stuff. I'm too far from God. And that even if you cry out, God's not going to hear you. Remember, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He doesn't care what condition you're in. He doesn't care how sinful you are. He just wants you to call out to him. You can't be too far from God's grace. If you ask for it, he will give it to you. Even though we don't deserve it, that's how good he is and how much he truly loves you. He loved you enough to truly come and die in our place. God wants to be your shelter. He wants to be your refuge. Are you making him your refuge? Is he where you turn when there is nowhere else to turn? He is your shield against the enemy, against the enemy's arrows. Flee to him and trust in his strength. Don't rely on yourself or things of this world. And you know, sometimes life just really can seem like it has so many problems. And maybe, you know, I don't know what's going on with you guys all individually, but maybe your parents are going through a divorce, or, you know, maybe you're being bullied at school. But whatever it is, by just stepping back and remembering that this is not where we belong, this is not where our citizenship truly is, but the fact that we're going to live with God forever and eternity with his glory, where there will be no suffering, no pain, no tears, no trials, no tribulations, it can surge us forward to face this life knowing we have been delivered through faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Amen. That's something worthy of praise. That's something worthy of worship. Is it not? And so as the band comes back up here and as we continue on in worship, I want you guys to be meditating on these things that God's brought to you tonight. To be focused in on the fact that we have what we have in the promise that not just David has, but what we've inherited, like David said. That promise of eternal salvation through Christ and the cross. So instead of living focused on the hardness of life and the difficulties in life, put your focus on Christ and what we have in him. So you live your days with praises to God on your tongues and joy in your heart, knowing that he is always faithful and always good, and our reward is with him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and just the fact that we can trust in you because you're faithful. You've been faithful to us, Lord, and sometimes we don't recognize it, but it's good for us to have trials and tribulations. It turns us back to you and reminds us of our weakness and that we need to be focusing on you and the strength we have in you and the promises we have in you. And ultimately, Lord, our hearts should be, we should be walking around with thankfulness, God, not focused on this world and this temporary place, but to truly have eternity in our hearts, eternity in our minds, eternity in our eyes, and to be living for that so that we don't become overwhelmed by these temporary little trivial things that we can blow up into these huge ordeals. So God, I just pray that these students would truly recognize what it is you're revealing to them tonight, and they would walk out of here and apply it, and not just hear it, Lord, not just be hearers of your word, but truly doers of your word. Coming here eager to hear from you, knowing that you are their father, they're your child, and that you love them. You want to be their shelter. You want to be their refuge. We all face hard times. We all face tribulations. But like Spurgeon said, that's what draws us near to you, and that's what draws you to us. And our faith is made perfect, Lord, in our weakness. But we put our trust and our faith in you. We pray this all in your son's name. Amen.